I don't know that. Is there sound going through the speakers? You got it? Now just me? We're recording. We're all good. All right. So who here has been watching the Olympics? No? Yes, a little bit? You know, no? Not even the snowboarding? It's pretty exciting. The snowboarding where the half pipe where they're coming up and they're twisting. I just see if I would try that, I'd just kill myself. Oh, really? What do they do? Figure skating? Oh, really? Awesome. Actually, I saw some, it was like free pair skating. It was amazing. It was just amazing. The routines is the Germans will won it, but it was amazing. I haven't seen the individuals, but you'll have to, who is it? What's Hegan Messing? Hegan. So we'll have to, is he still competing? So he's qualified? He didn't make the bracket. But they're the best athletes in the world, right? Best athletes in the world. And their scores, yeah, I mean, you know, sometimes it looks, oh, well, they didn't make it, but the scores are, I'm sorry, I got distracted. She was like, what are you doing? The volume's off. You didn't hear it ring, did you? I know I'm slacking. I slack in a lot of areas. But anyways, back to my subject, Ryan, is that these scores are actually only separated by decimal points, right? It's that close. They're counting it. Now, if we go back a decade, before you guys were born, they actually scored these things in like, you know, 1 to 10 is how they used to score these things. And the 10 was what? It was what? It was perfect, right? It was the perfect score. And it didn't happen a lot because they're rarely perfect, right? There's little things would go. But when it did, it was like, whoa. Wow, that was just amazing. Just amazing. So my question to you guys is, what is perfect? What's the definition, your definition of perfect? Oh, that's an exciting upcoming sport. What's been around for centuries. Curling? It's like shuffleboard almost. You know what shuffleboard is, right? But yeah, and there's like a big hockey puck, but it's fat hockey puck, and they send it down. Right, and they have to get it right there. But anyways, we digress. We digress, Ryan, again. So what is the word perfect, the definition, your definition for perfect? Yes. Jesus? Sure. She just blew everybody else's definition out of the water. Yes. Something that has no flaws. God. Anybody else? Something that doesn't have flaws. Obviously, God, Jesus, doesn't have flaws, and they don't have flaws. So, if we look at the definition, was actually written in a dictionary, definition for perfect is made completely free from faults or defects, or as close as a situation as possible. Now, I find it kind of crazy that the actual definition for perfect is not perfect, right? Because it's as close as possible. In the Bible, we can find the word perfect. Obviously, describing a couple people, right? Or the same person, actually. This was translated from Old Greek text. The Bible is translated from Old Greek text, right? So no, that doesn't mean that they created cell phones way back then, right? That's not what it means. It means that the Greeks, you know, that was the common language at the time. So they write down things. So it was in Greek text. Now, the Greek word for perfect is telos. And it means complete, full-grown, mature, or reaching its end. Now in Matthew, so we're going to turn to Matthew. Chapter 5, verse 48. Ryan, can you read that verse?
Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect.
Okay, so at first glance, it seems that Jesus is commanding us to do the impossible, right? Because there's only one person who's ever been perfect, only one human being who's ever been perfect, and that was Jesus. So to put it bluntly, being perfect is a hoax. Right? If it's us being without flaws or defects, as far as humans go, right? Because we know we all fall short of living up to Jesus, right? Now, when we have a difficult passage or something that's a little bit confusing, there's a couple things we need to look at when we get that. The first thing is, can that word, like perfect, have several meanings? So that's a question. Can that word perfect, in this situation it's perfect, but if you had a different word that you're struggling with, does it have different meanings, or can it have several different meanings? So can perfect have a different meaning than just that one we came up with, what was flawless and doesn't have any defect? Yes. Right? Because the Greek, well, it was the Greek definition. I just read you that it was being complete, right? Being full grown, mature, or reaching its end. So perfect doesn't, in the Bible, doesn't have to mean that it's just like, you know, doesn't have any flaws at all. All right? Second thing is the context of the verse. And this means a couple of different things. Is, you know, if we look ahead a couple of verses before or after, we could kind of get a feel what they're talking about. What's the main purpose they're talking about? And then also the context would be also their what's going on as far as in that situation and how people are back then. So how they conduct themselves back when the Bible was written. You know, their traditions, what they did in a daily basis. So if we go back, Matthew chapter 5, 43 through 48. Amber, do you feel like reading? So, what is the main theme or point of all this? What those verses go over? Exactly. Precise. I could not say it better myself. right? Is that it's all about love. And loving those who don't just love you is even your enemies. Even those people who hate you, who spite you, love them just like our Father has loved us. You know, basically it's love your neighbors. And who is your neighbors? It's everyone is your neighbor. Okay, third thing to look at, is there other verses that can help you understand this one? And then fourth thing, if you go all the way through and you still hit the fourth one, is ask me for Tony's cell phone number, because I will definitely give it to you, no problem. But seriously, is find out the answer. Keep digging. Don't just settle for not knowing. You'll find out the answer. So Jesus is saying, as Elena was saying, is that Jesus is saying is let your love be complete just as God's love is. God loves everyone. It says he reigns on the just and the unjust, meaning that they're the same to God. Everybody's equal to God. He doesn't, you know, favor one person over the other one. You know, he loves everyone, even those who hate him. True agape love is complete. It's not partial. It's complete. You know, he doesn't just love some people. He loves all. The more we know God, our love should be growing and maturing. Now, I also feel this idea of the word perfect is that most people look at that and say, oh, well, it's flawless, right? It doesn't have that, oh, as good as possible, it's perfect, it's flawless. Now, I think we put this image of perfect over the last years and centuries, that image comes to mind. And well-meaning people put this unattainable image in their head, right? And then they start thinking that the only way they could be acceptable is that they measure up to this personal or social standard of perfect. Now, I've heard many of students say, is my parents expect me to be perfect, right? And it's obviously is because they're feeling bad about themselves. And it's like, you know, you feel stressed. You know, it brings on stress. It brings on stress that leads to discontent and frustration. It could also lead to judging others harshly. Judging yourself harshly and judging others harshly. Let's turn to Luke. So a couple books to the right. Luke chapter 6. Verses 39 through 41. Kayla, can you read that? So, I mean, we've all heard this parable before, correct? Or, I mean, knows that Jesus has this, no? Kind of a humorous plank, because, I mean, a humorous parable, because this guy, you can picture a plank coming out of this eye, so a big, huge piece of wood, if not really big, and he's worried about his neighbor having a little bit of sawdust or just a little splinter in his eyes. So it's about... Sometimes people will see, if they're worried so much on perfection, it's like see other people's faults, but don't see their own, right? They judge other people's like, oh, look at what he's doing, but they don't really look at themselves and look at how much they're doing wrong. you know, their strive to be perfect, we can focus on how everybody else is not perfect, but miss the same areas or maybe even different areas where we lack. Let's also look at chapter 18 in Luke. Mario, do you want to read that? So, who was exalted? The tax collector, right? Because of why? Because he humbled himself. No, don't let anybody else speak. So he humbled himself, right? I feel like this Pharisee, and I think that a lot of Pharisees, they had this burden they were trying to put on people. In keeping up with the law, as far as they were putting on a huge burden. And they were trying to, and the word perfect to me is that some people will get in their head is that they're trying to do it themselves. You know, do everything themselves, trying to save themselves. And that's how I picture this guy, is because, you know, he didn't humble himself. He was like, oh, look at, I do so good. I don't want to be like these people. Right? I don't even want to associate to these people. Because with that idea of perfectism, I think it lacks grace and forgiveness. Grace and forgiveness is huge in agape love. That's true love, undeserving love that God has for us. A love that we should be emulating. Now, the Greek word for grace is charis, meaning kindness, a free, unmeditated favor. It's undeserved. It's something out of the blue. You go ahead and favor somebody even though they don't deserve it. Right? And then the Greek word for forgiveness is heism, meaning let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Can't hold back anymore. Right? We all know that. Right? Forgiveness. We need to give those ungrateful, unforgiving thoughts to God. Right? We need to let those go. We need to let those go, what hold us back from loving other people. You know, we can't love others if we hold things against them. Right? If we look down on them, there's no way, right? You can't love somebody if you look down on them, if you hold things that you hate about them, if you hold on to those things. So you need to let those things go and give them to God. Now, last week, I don't know if anybody noticed, but I was gone, right? Oh, you didn't notice I was gone then. I was in the valley visiting the sweetest man I know, my dad. I took him out to Hamburger Blizzard. He didn't really touch the hamburger because he has a huge sweet tooth. He loves his blizzards. Now, over the past year, he's getting less and less stable. So he uses a walker. And as we were coming out of Dairy Queen, I was trying to get, you know, I was trying to hold the door, and I had both drinks. I was hoping for a gentleman. I was hoping Ryan would show up and hold the door for me, but he didn't. So I had to set my drinks down. But so we're coming out, and I parked over here. Foolish of me, parked over here. The little ramp, the handicap ramp, was over here. But I was like, I got this, right? I got this. There's a curb. I got this. I mean, so I'm on his right, and as we go down, I don't know what happens, but I'm like, oh. And have you ever gotten that just there? It's just awkward. And, I mean, I could, my dad, he's lost a lot of weight, but still, I could, you know, 100 pounds, I'm not that hit, I'm not that big. So, I mean, I catch him, but I'm kind of like, oh, oh. And then I need to try to reposition, right? I need to represent it, and I don't want to drop him. I mean, even though he's not that far from the ground now, but I don't want to drop him. So I'm trying to get him repositioned, and this angel comes up, and she helps us and gets in the car, and we're all good, right? Thank God for helpful people, right? So I get back. So we get there, and he's all leaning still in the car and try to buckle him in. And we get all situated, and I get back to the nursing home, and I'm trying to get him out of the car. I think I've learned my lesson. Stay on the left side, right? That's my lesson. Stay on the left side. For some reason, he goes to the left side. So I get on my left side, and he's coming, and he's like leaning like this. It's like, and for some reason, he thinks he could just power through with the walker. So he's walking fast, and he's leaning, and it's like, Dad, you're leaning to the left side. Why are you doing this? And he looks at me, and he's like, I don't know. And it's like, you're killing me. And then to go on further, we're getting closer to the door. I'm doing all right. I'm holding him up. We're doing all right, and we're getting close to the door. And then there's somebody walking around. And he takes his hand off, and he waves and smiles. And it's like, oh, my gosh. I told you he was nice, right? He was a nice guy. He's a very sweet guy. And he does this, and he's like, oh, my gosh, Dad, keep your hands on the – that's what this is for. You keep your hands on the walker while you're moving. So I get him in there, and I get him, and we're all situated. And I get him. I lay him down in the bed, and I don't. Do you need to go to the restroom? And it was like, and he was out. He was just overly tired. He was very tired. I don't know. You know, when they get to the elderly, it's like any little extra or different situation, they get very tired. You know, I got frustrated with them. You know, and sometimes we get frustrated with people we love, right? Sometimes we get frustrated with people we love. It doesn't mean that we don't love them, right? And I know my dad is not perfect. It doesn't mean I love him any less. Actually, the fact that he depends on people more is, I don't think I love him more, but it comes up more. That feeling of love. That feeling of love that you just want to be there for him. Sorry. The world is not perfect, but God's unmeasurable love for us is. I read this many times, did not cry. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 through 10. All the way through those two verses. Cassiopeia? Oh. Are you close? Should I get you on the next one? Dylan, can you read that? Colossians 2, verses 9 through 10. Okay, so our job is to mature with God's word. Because if we have him, we'll mature. Our love will mature. We'll mature. You know, we cannot assume that we're already there. Right? Because we're always, there is an old thing as far as we're all a work in progress. Right? We're working to be complete, and we're not, and I'm not telling you not to work to mature. But that's what it is. It's to working to still try to achieve matureness. In Philippians, so it's the book before, so we're going left. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Cassie? The more we lean on God, the more we know how much he truly loves us. Then, when we know that, we could show that same love towards others. A true agape love. Now, I talked about agape love on Wednesday, but since then, I had a friend tell me about his grandkids. And I thought, oh, you know, there's a perfect example. A perfect example. Now, kids are great. To your parents, you guys are great, right? But from what I've always thought is that grandkids are greater. I'm still waiting. I can't wait. I want grandkids. But from what everybody says, grandkids are awesome, all right? So to your grandparents, you guys are awesome. But what he was saying is that, you know, other people's babies, they're okay. They're okay to him. They're all right. But if one of those babies slobbers in his mouth, he kind of gets a little grossed out. But for his grandson, he doesn't think twice. Slobber in his mouth all he wants, right? So you might be shaking your head, but get this, is that it didn't matter to him. It doesn't matter to him. The grossness is not there. It doesn't matter because he loves him that much. He cares about him that much. This world will never be perfect, yet we live in it. You know, to get through it, we ourselves don't need to be perfect. That's what we lean on Jesus for, right? We need love, grace, and forgiveness. Now, I'm not perfect. I know this. You know, I'm not the best teacher. In your lifetime, you're going to hear many great teachers, many awesome teachers. You know, I stumble my words. I misspell. I get lost in my notes. I do all these things. But this I know is that there are better preachers of the gospel, but there's no better gospel I could teach. Right? So we lean on. So I lean on God and thankful for his grace. I'm going to leave you with this little poem. It was on Instagram. I don't know how many saw it, but. I am thankful the taxes I pay because it means I'm employed. The clothes that fit a little too snug because it means I have enough to eat. My shadow who watches me work because it means I'm out in the sunshine. A lawn that has to be mowed. Windows that have to be washed. Gutters that need to be cleaned because it means I have a home. The spot I find in the end of the parking lot because it means I'm capable of walking. All the complaining I hear about our government because it means we have freedom of speech. The guy behind me in church, that'd be me, who sings off key, again me, because it means I can hear. The huge pile of laundry and ironing because it means my loved ones are nearby. The alarm that goes off in the early morning hours because it means I'm alive. So, Levi, can you end us?